Amen.
Well, I have been listening in on heaven.
Amen.
I'm glad to report victory in my soul today.
Amen.
Glad to be converted and sanctified. Amen. And as the brother Willie just said, I am a product of this Hanahan Church, and I'm thankful for it.
Amen.
I was praying with Janine last night at the altar, and glad she got some victory last night. And she said she got, that's where she found the Lord right there, and I found the Lord right over there.
Yeah.
So, and a whole bunch of people did. So we, I'm thankful for the ministry of this Hanahan Church.
Amen.
I really am. I'm thankful for the faithful that are here carrying on meetings and keeping the lights turned on. And I appreciate you. Just keep up the good work. I'm going to get straight into my subject this morning. Good to be with everybody. And I've been reading the book of Joshua, and there's all kinds of sermons in the book of Joshua, but I'm going to pick one and focus on that so I won't be too long today. But some scripture in the book of Matthew that ties to that. This is found in the 12th chapter of Matthew. It says, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit." Law of nature, we know that. "O generation of vipers, how can ye," this is Jesus speaking, "being evil," he's talking to the Pharisees, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And what's in your heart is going to come out. It's kind of the way it works. "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle," listen to this, this is the verse that got me, "but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." We were in our Sunday school lesson last week. We talked about not rebuking an elder. In the New Testament, that's written. And I confess to the class, many times that scripture has stopped me in my tracks. You know, you want to say something sometimes, but Bible says don't rebuke an elder. Don't, you know, respect and honor the elders and the leaders, and I do. And this scripture makes me think twice about what I say today even, and every day in my life. I don't want to speak idle words. I want to speak words that would be profitable and that would edify and help somebody make it to a home in heaven. "For by thy words," this is Jesus saying this, "for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." So it works both ways. What we think in our heart, we meditate on, and what we speak with our lips that goes out through our mind and through our lips, it's important that we have the Spirit of God to filter that and to help us to speak words that would be profitable. As I was reading, this is actually in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. And this is long, so I'm going to really abbreviate it. But in the 13th chapter of Numbers, it says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying," now the children of Israel had been brought out by a mighty hand of God out of the land of Egypt. They had moved through the wilderness, and they were basically sitting ready to go into the promised land that God had promised that he would provide for them. He tells Moses, "Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them." And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, all those men which were heads of the children of Israel. So of the 12 tribes, they chose 12 leaders that was in each of those tribes and sent them out to spy in the land. Here's what Moses told. "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, Get ye up this way southward and go up into the mountains and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many." He wanted to know what was going on in the land that the Lord had promised and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad. And what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage. Be of good courage. I want to tell y'all that today too, and tell myself, Let's be of good courage.
Amen.
The Lord is with us. And bring the fruit of the land. And I'll skip down a little bit now because they went in, the party of 12 went into the 12 spies. They went out into the land on a reconnaissance mission, and they began to check out the cities and all the fruit. And it tells us here, and I think about Uncle Ray when I read this, they brought back clusters of grapes that was so big that they had to put a pole in the cluster, and it took two men to carry this cluster of grapes. That's some nice fruit. And they brought back pomegranates and figs and just products of the land. And they told him when they get back and said, "We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it." They brought the evidence back. "Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled like Jericho." Jericho was a fortress city. It was amazing. If you look at that city, you would think, man, there is nothing going to take that city down. It's reputed that the walls were 15 feet thick. They had houses built on the outer part of the wall. And two chariots could run on top of the wall and pass each other. So it was a fortress city. They saw all that. And they said, man, it's a strong, strong people that's dwelling in that land. And very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak. We saw giants that was living in the land. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites. From my history lessons, they were all warlike people. Strong warriors. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. But one of those spies was named Caleb. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." We can go. He was tired of all the negative talk coming out of their lips. But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." They're too tough. We can't do this. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search, it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak." This guy must have been something. He's in the scripture quite a few times. And his sons were like giants. I guess the one I hear the most about is Goliath. He was like 9'9", I believe the Bible teaches us. These were some big people that was living in that promised land. But it was the land that God said, "You're going to inherit this land." "And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. We look puny compared to these people. And so we were in their sight." They know we look puny. And it says in the 14th chapter of Numbers, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night." Well, it goes on down, and they started murmuring. I won't read all that, but they started murmuring and said, "We would have been better off if we had just stayed in Egypt. You bring us out here in this wilderness to this land that God has promised, and we're just going to be annihilated out here." And he says, "Why don't..."
Thank you.
So they were ready to go back into Egypt. And worse than that, they were ready to kill Caleb.
That's right.
Because he had a good report. And they wanted to kill Joshua because he had a good report. But 10 of those spies had an evil report. A negative report went out of their mouth. That's right. Sometimes, well, that's right. Sixth verse. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. It really upset them. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it, it is an exceeding good land. This is great what the Lord has given us. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord. So they tried to preach to them, don't be negative. Don't lack faith. You know, I tell you what, there's times in our Christian walk, our Christian life, and we're living in Canaan. We're living in a spiritual Canaan.
That's right.
We've inherited the land that they were trying to fight, you know, in a spiritual sense. They were in a physical sense trying to inherit this land. If you don't hear anything else I say today, please hear this. There are times that we are tried and we are tested in our spiritual walks. Is there not? There are times when we sometimes get confused with what life's throwing at us. There are times that we are in grief. There are times when we are in disappointment. There's times that we're embarrassed.
Amen.
There's times that we experience the full emotions of life. But let me tell you something. I want to make it to heaven.
Amen.
I want to make it to heaven. If I'm embarrassed, if I'm having to fight off discouragement sometimes, mostly it's good. I don't want to give a bad impression here. I mean, life with God is good.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. But there are times that we have to just hunker down on our faith and we go through bitter trials and we have to just stand. And I think we have patience with each other too. If someone's going through a trial, I want to have patience with them. I don't want to, you know, put more weight on them. I want to be praying for them and helping them and encouraging you to make it. We don't have any to lose. God don't want any of us to perish. God is with us. We've got a great thing going. But we do have an adversary. And he'll be out there trying to discourage you. He'll try to discourage you. And the way I feel about it is this. We need to set our face like a flint towards heaven. And keep an eternal perspective. That is what carries me through hard times. That's what's going to carry you through hard times. You set your face. You focus on Christ. You focus on God and His plan of salvation. And then as we go through these disturbances and annoyances and things in life that are often bitter or difficult to deal with, God even somehow helps lighten those. It's amazing what the Spirit of God can do. So my point here today is I want to encourage you to serve God no matter what. No matter what. Put and keep your faith in a God who can take you through.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sure that Joshua and Caleb sweated some those nights when they were wanting to stone them and throw them out. And they had done nothing wrong. But they wanted to throw. They wanted to kill Moses, kill Aaron, kill Joshua, and kill Caleb. And let me read on a little bit. It says, And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? And he says, I'm going to smite every one of them. And I'm going to start over with you, Moses. And we're going to make a better nation. Moses, Lord, please don't do that. And he began to reason with him. He says, if you do that, then the nations that are watching us are going to say that God's power was not strong enough to take these people through this land. He said, Lord, please, you know, he began to plead for the people. Please don't do that to them. So the Lord says, okay, but here's what he did do. We read down here, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into this land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. It's important what we think in our mind and our heart, and it's important the report that we give. It makes all the difference. And it made all the difference in these two men's lives and in their families' lives. It goes on. It says that the 10 spies who gave the evil report died suddenly of a plague. Isn't that amazing? Man, I want to have a good report with God. They just died suddenly. And it says that they had already numbered the people earlier in the first chapters of Numbers. And if I have my math, I think I got my math right. When they numbered, they numbered the males that were 20 years old and older that were able to go, physically fit to go to war. And there was over 600,000 that were above the age of 20 that were able to go to war. I don't know how many men, women and children and all that. I don't know what house, maybe somebody knows the number. I don't know the number of that total group. But 600,000 men's a lot of men to wander around in the wilderness. Amen. And the Lord said, because of your evil report, you're going to wander a year for every day that those spies were in that land. They were in the land 40 days. He said, because of that, for 40 years, you're going to wander in that wilderness, and your carcasses are going to fall, and every one of you is going to die except Joshua and Caleb, that was above 20 years old. We're serving a good God.
Amen.
We're serving a severe God.
That's right.
Behold the goodness and severity. It's already been said this weekend. Behold the goodness and severity of God.
Right.
It came to pass. They should never have wandered those 40 years. It was because of unbelief and because of an evil report. They lost 40 years and probably about 2 million people.
Yep.
But the ones that were 20 or less, as they grew up, they had children, they probably replenished about as fast as they were dying off, and a large group did go into the land. I'm not going to read all about that. They did go into the land of Canaan. Let me wrap up with this part right here. And I congratulated Brother Robert on his 80th birthday. This just had his 80th birthday. My dad just had his 80th birthday yesterday, and Brother Thomas Mustin just had his, I think, last week. And we're also blessed today to have Sister Ruby. She's 85 years old here today. And Sister Liliette, I believe you're 95? 95. That's wonderful. Because I want to tell you about an 85-year-old. Now, you all know what happened to Joshua, Bible readers do. Joshua went on and became the leader. He became the leader behind Moses. And he led the people across the Jordan in a miracle, walk across on dry land again. And he led the people of God, conquered 31 warlike kingdoms with God's help. Now, what if he had had a negative report? What if those 10 had discouraged him and he had just shut up, you know, and not spoke positively? He had never led God's people. He would have never led God's people. I don't believe it. But Caleb, I haven't read a lot about Caleb, but I did as I was reading through the book of Joshua. I'll wrap up with this. This is in the 14th chapter. And just, I don't know, about 8 verses. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. Now, they were dividing up the land. They had conquered a lot of these kingdoms already. There was still some more to conquer, but they had conquered many of them. And it was time to divide up the land. So each of the tribes got a portion. And they were dividing it up geographically. And, you know, Judah gets this, and Reuben gets this, and Simeon gets that, and it's all real organized. The camp of God was very organized. It says, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb. Now, this is the other good report guy. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, to Joshua, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. And that's when he told him that to spy out the land, and wherever your heels touch, you're going to own it.
Yeah, that's right.
40 years old, this is Caleb, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. I brought a good report. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. And you know, by this time, they're all dead. I mean, all those naysayers, the evil report guys, they were gone. They're in the land of Canaan now. He says, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. I wholly followed him. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, listen to this. I love it. I love this scripture. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. The Lord hath kept me alive, conquering 31 kingdoms in this last 45 years. The Lord hath kept me alive. As he said these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I'm 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. That's amazing. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. He's still ready to fight. 85 years old, and the man is ready. I am ready to be sent out on another mission. That blows my mind. But here's what I love. 12th verse. Now this is Caleb talking to Joshua. I'm sure by this time they're compadres. They are friends, man. They watched all them other people die. They watched 2 million people die needlessly in the wilderness. And here they are in the promised land. And here's what he says to Joshua, the commander in chief for the Lord. He says, now they're standing, they're near Hebron. It's one of the places where those spies went. He says, now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, that's the giants, and that the cities were great and fenced. Listen to this faith. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. 85 years old, claiming his inheritance among the people of God, and saying, give me this mountain. I want this place. I don't have scripture to prove it, but I believe he fell in love with it on the spy mission. I believe when he was there, when he walked around Hebron, he says, I want this place. I want this. Do you want this today? Brother Todd, I enjoyed his talk last night. This is what I want too. I'm thankful to have standing room among you today. I really am. And for the sake of time, I'm going to move on. I'm almost done. But he says, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. He still had faith. He still had faith. And he still had a good report. The things he's speaking with his mouth are still positive and still good. I love that. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. It was his. And Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Today I want to have a positive report. I am so thankful to be sanctified today. I'm so thankful that I'm in the land of Canaan. The fruits are good. They are good. And Yes, I have had battles. Yes, I have had things I didn't understand. Yes, and I will probably have more in the future. That's just the way life seems to be. But let me tell you, the best thing I got going in my life is my relationship with God. And I'm glad I'm sanctified today. If you're not sanctified today, you are officially invited to join the sanctified folks. We don't have no mutual exclusive on this thing. We share it with anybody who sincerely wants it. It is for you. So I encourage you today, if you don't know God, make a start. And I think you'll say with me, it's the best thing that I ever did do was make a start for God. Y'all pray for me.